to the Gym Podcast. Uncut, unfiltered, unreal.
Welcome everyone to the Gym Podcast. Welcome folks. I'm your host, Jimbo Fisher. Joining me this week, as always, is the one, the only, Randy Darsh.
Hello everybody. I've got to say, I'm in mourning this week. I'm in mourning for the loss of the great, my favorite Auburn coach of all time, Hugh Freeze.
He's
officially been fired.
Yeah. Randy, you're an Alabama expert. What's the deal? What's like the what's kind of the vibe right now coming out of Auburn in your mind?
Coming out of Auburn, they're glad to be rid of him. I haven't met a single Auburn fan that was like wishing he had more time, whatever, whatever. I mean, they've wanted to get rid of him for a while, but it's like, what are you going to do? Right. You have to kind of just take the coach that you have.
Right.
But I mean, they shouldn't have hired him in the first place.
Yes. Yes.
past history. That's the thing. So it's like, well, we got him. I mean, what are we going to do?
Yeah.
And I mean, they obviously still have DJ Durkin. I really hope they don't name DJ Durkin the interim. That would just be beyond embarrassing for them. Mm-hmm. I mean, look, as much as I clown on Auburn, and as funny as it is to have multiple rivals, that's programs are just laughing stocks right now in LSU and Auburn. Mm-hmm. I almost like it's so bad that I kind of feel bad for them. Because they have a bit of a history. Like, Pat Dye was really good. I don't really know any other good Auburn coaches. I guess they won something with Gene Chizik.
Yeah.
Yeah, Cam.
Cam guy.
I'm just saying, they don't have to be this embarrassing with who they hire.
Like, they could be a respectable team. You know what I mean? They could have, like, a coach with dignity.
It's not just about team year-to-year performances in so much as, like, having a guy that leads, like, in the SEC especially. I'm not trying to make it an it just means more thing. But it's very much a thing, like, you're a community pillar of the town type of thing.
You're
so you need
government.
To have a coach.
Yeah. Yeah. So you need
basically
to...
like that's how important you are. If you're a head SEC football coach, like you're very important to the economy of the state of your area. You're seen as a pillar of the community. Like it's a thing. You're kind of elevated a little bit. So you have to have somebody represent your program that's not embarrassing.
Right.
Even if you take away the weird high school girls thing that you can Google for yourselves if you're not familiar.
We all know. Yeah.
Like he's a goober, man. He's just.
I mean, it's for what it's worth, this was a firing that I think was like not surprising, not too controversial, you know, compared to like James Franklin and Brian Kelly. I feel like everyone kind of agrees. Yes. Hugh Freeze needed to go. So I guess, you know, as much as you hate Auburn, I'm glad for them. I'm happy for them. They're free. Hopefully their next hire is not an embarrassment to your state. I'll say that much.
Right. And here's the thing is I think the problem might come down to their athletic director. I don't even know the athletic director's name, but it's like, you know, I remember that clip of him screaming at the refs going out of the field after halftime. I think it was the Georgia game. And it's like, okay, I get it. Maybe you got screwed on a couple calls here and there, and maybe you had problems with them. But like literally everybody has had bad calls go against them.
Yeah.
You just kind of have to take it and keep playing. Right. It happens. And Auburn has been on the receiving end of calls going their way that really shouldn't have it plenty of times in the past.
Oh,
it just is part of football, man. You have to play on, not just whine all the time, man.
Well, this is an interesting thing. I see you've compiled a list here of all the current vacancies within the college football landscape. We've got Arkansas, Auburn, Florida, LSU, Oklahoma State, Penn State, Stanford, Virginia Tech, as well as Colorado State and UAB and Oregon State with positions that are open. I feel like, Randy, like this year.
Oh, real quick.
Yeah.
We need to add one more team to that. Maryland.
Maryland.
They fired Loxley.
Mike Loxley, folks. Wait, is that real? I saw like the rumor going around. Is it? Wait. You were duped.
Professionals
you
here.
Were duped. We hit the gym.
Oh, it was a fake. Oh, I'm sorry, everybody.
There are articles
that from the
about
record.
The dupe. Michael Loxley is still employed.
Okay, so Maryland's not included in that list.
Yet,
never mind.
Yet. He might still be, though. It's a
point. I find it interesting how there's only – well, I guess there's technically two – no, there's only one Big Ten team on this list and four SEC teams.
Interesting.
I find that to be very interesting.
I mean, there should be another Big Ten team, if we're being honest. Wisconsin should be. I mean, let's face it, you know.
I don't know if you guys just give your coaches more chances or I don't know what it is. If it's just one of those, sometimes it shakes out this way, who knows?
Yeah. I mean, like we said, I think with Wisconsin, it's going to be, it's pretty clear next year is like the make or break year. We've accepted it, you know,
but that's fine. It is what it is.
It is. I guess what I'm trying to get at is it feels like there's going to be more, right? There's going to be more firings. I don't know who, but like, It's going to happen. And it like Florida State, I think, is another big one that is kind of like looming. I again, like I said this a couple weeks ago, I don't know who's going to come in and fill in these shoes. Like, who's going to come in for Florida and LSU and Penn State and be better than the guy they had before? You know?
I think it's going to come down mostly to administrative support. I think I talked about this last week, but a lot of times great head coaches become great with great help from a well-organized administration that supports the head football coach. And that's why, like, especially in the modern era, mm-hmm. what makes a job a great job isn't the brand name and necessarily as much. I mean, it matters, but not nearly as much.
Yeah.
In so much as how organized and how competent is the actual athletic department. Mm-hmm. That's why, like, Ole Miss right now is actually a great job. That's why I don't think Lane's going to leave Ole Miss, is because they support him fully. Mm-hmm. They're on the same page. He gets everything he needs. He is supported 100% by, like, with Auburn, LSU, Florida. You don't see that as much. You don't trust their athletic departments. I mean, LSU is going to have to hire a new president, a new athletic director, and a new head coach. Are you really set up for success by building in there? Like, you can't just, like, have access to these recruits. Now, everybody in the conference, both Big Ten and SEC especially, are just going to be paying recruits as well. There's NIL. It's an open thing now, right? You can't just be LSU and lock down Louisiana. First of all, they weren't even locking them down before while we had Saban. We had Louisiana mostly locked down. I mean, just saying.
No, it's like, I mean, the way that these college football programs are ran nowadays, they're ran like a business, you know, and the coach is like the CEO to an extent. And how I look at it is, like, in a sense, it's just like when companies just, like, get a new CEO and, like, everything turns to crap. And, you know, and you expect a new CEO to come in and, like, fix things. Like, it doesn't work like that, really. Like, these things are, like, difficult problems to solve. You have so many people and, like, kind of sub-departments now to manage with all these components. It's NIL. It's recruiting. It's a transfer portal. It's getting boosters and coaching a team on top of all that. Like, it's not easy. And I feel like, in a sense, like, I really do think some programs might be shooting themselves in the foot by, like, cannibalizing their entire department, like LSU, for example, right? They're starting completely over and they're going to have no leadership, no experience. And I don't know, man. Like, if I was an LSU fan, I'd be very nervous right now for the future.
Now, you have a good point, but on the other hand, it takes one good leader coming in to change all of this around overnight for your program.
That's true.
That's also the reality of it. Like, things can go to crap just as fast as they can be built up.
It's high risk, high reward, in a way.
High risk, high reward. So you have to have a guy that's going to come in, do what needs to be done, be a little, I don't know if cutthroat is the right word, but be willing to really look at the program and make changes. Because it's easy to be kind of stagnant when you have this much money, mm-hmm. be kind of conservative in some of the decisions you make as far as, like, athletic department personnel, the way you approach recruiting, yada, yada, yada.
Yeah.
All these little intricate things that come with being a coach in an athletic department. Like I said, when you have money and you're a name brand, it's easy to just coast on the easy decisions and not make what's difficult. And they're going to have to make difficult decisions, change things up, how they do things. And to have a good leader that's going to come in, do that, and be really good at managing groups of people, especially the boosters.
I mean, they're fronting the bill these days, and the bills are getting more expensive year after year. So weird times we're living in. Randy, I got to ask, did you watch any football this last weekend?
I watched a lot of football. I watched a ton of football. Even with the bye week's the perfect time to watch a bunch of football. You got a bye week too, right?
I'm saying the blackout, Randy, the YouTube TV situation. Are you on YouTube TV? What's the deal here?
I am on YouTube TV, but, you know, there's a certain method, you know.
I'm not trying to sound cynical, but I straight up, like, did not watch football this weekend. I was so bummed out with the whole situation. And with my Badgers not playing, I just kind of, like, sat this one out, went to a Halloween party. I kept track of the scores, you know. I was still posting on Discord and stuff, but, like, I'm worried, man, that, like, this isn't going to be resolved. And, like, the rest of the season, it might be a situation where people just can't, like, watch any ESPN or ABC.
I mean, but there's ways.
That's
the
thing, but...
is like the casual viewer,
most people.
Most people, right?
Yeah,
it's going to be a little bit more difficult for them. But people that really care are going to find. No, I agree with you. Usually, this stuff is kind of resolved.
It always resolves, but it feels like, well, why I bring this up is I kind of have this concern, Randy, that we're heading in this direction, right? Where the real reason Disney is doing this is because they want to promote their own subscription service. right? They have their own rival sports package. No, it is true. Like they bought Fubo. It's combined with Hulu TV. It's got ESPN, ABC, etc. But like all this drama and stuff, like you look at how these conferences are tied to these TV deals and whatnot. Like, I'm afraid if the TV side of things collapses because of these dumb arguments over contracts and stuff, like, that's going to have huge negative rippling effects on college football in general. Like, am I overdooming?
No, I wasn't saying, oh, God, at your statement. More what that would mean if that happened. Because kind of see what you're talking about. I remember hearing about how they acquired Fubo and Hulu. Is that right?
Yeah, correct.
And YouTube TV is their only real competitor. So it makes sense while they're trying to strong arm these contract negotiations. I really hope they don't do that.
Yeah.
I mean, if they have their own subscription service, people would probably buy into it because you have to remember the NFL too.
The thing is, you're missing out. From my understanding, you're still missing out on like CBS and NBC and I think Fox, I think like BTN. Like there's going to be a lot of these other stations that show all these other games that you're not going to be able to see. And so suddenly you've got like, pick your choice. Like, are you going with Fox or are you going with ESPN? And then it comes back to, is it Big Ten or SEC? And I hate that. I don't want the sport to be that divided. It's divided enough.
No, I agree with you. I want it to be simple. You flip channels, college football is interconnected. Yeah. You have, mutual games. I mean, that's one of the consequences of these giant conferences is not everybody in the conference playing each other that frequently. Mm-hmm. I agree with you. I kind of don't like the direction the sport is headed in terms of how divided it's becoming. I want to see more out-of-conference matchups. I want to see the TV deals is one thing. Like it kind of is what it is. I don't know how like recent it is to have these huge TV deals, but I get the general point you're making. I haven't put enough thought into it to
give a good response. This could all be resolved by the time this Jim podcast is out. I hope it is because I want to watch some football this weekend. But I guess we'll have to see. Well, you said you watched some games, Randy. And I think we were kind of right on our prediction, it seems, which was that this would be a make-or-break week for a lot of teams. Can you walk us through, Randy, which teams, in your mind, have been eliminated after Week 10?
Which teams have been eliminated? Let me go down the list here, I guess.
I'm looking at the
I guess Miami. Miami's been eliminated probably. They're now 6-2.
It's over.
And they are nowhere near making the ACC championship. Cristobal, of course, is going to. We talked about this. We said it was a matter of when, not if, Cristobal and Miami would fold. Mm-hmm. Looks like it started. It kind of makes sense to happen at this point. Mm-hmm. Tennessee has been eliminated. They're 6-3. They weren't that good to begin with.
It's fallen to over.
I told you, I told you Oklahoma would win.
Yeah. Cincinnati, they're done.
Cincinnati's
they're done.
Maybe.
I'm thankful for it. They got blown out by Utah, 45-14. So
they can still make the Big 12 championship game. Texas Tech, Cincinnati, and BYU are the top three of the Big 12. Mm. Cincinnati and Texas Tech have a conference loss, and it looks like Cincinnati and Texas Tech don't even play each other. So I don't even know what their tiebreaker rules are or how that would work out. Although Cincinnati does play BYU, so they would play their way back into it.
That should resolve it, I guess.
With that win.
Vanderbilt.
That'll resolve it.
Vanderbilt's done. Everyone's mad about that.
I don't know if Vanderbilt's completely done.
It's Jover, let's face it. They won't get the benefit of the doubt that Texas will, which is like maddening that Texas is back in the playoff conversation after all this.
That's true. I mean, plus you have to give the credit that Texas actually did beat them.
I get that. Any other teams eliminated here? I'm looking down the list here. I think Clemson's officially done.
They've been done for a few weeks at this point.
I just.
I mean, do you think Michigan still has a chance?
I think from a mathematical standpoint, they do. From like a pure momentum standpoint, it's all going to come down to that Ohio State game. Because like Ohio State, for what it's worth, is undefeated. They're number one, reigning champs. If Michigan can beat Ohio State, for one, I think they are a lock for the Big Ten championship. But beyond that, like, we'd have to give them some credit. Like, if they can pull out the win. The problem with Michigan, in my mind, is, like, they're winning games, but every game, it seems, is this absolute nail-biter, down to the wire, way too close for comfort, for no reason.
Against teams, they have no business being in that position.
But
right.
We've seen Michigan do this in, 2023, right? And they won it all that year. So, like, I don't know. It's winning in, like, for them. So, I'd say, doesn't matter how you do it. Just win at this point. You know?
One team that I did think just got eliminated also was Houston losing to West Virginia. Shout out to Saxo Steve.
Yep.
There is one more game I wanted to talk about, but real quick, I wanted to bring up the Group of Five race. Oh. So in the American Athletic Conference, we now have Memphis, North Texas, and Navy. They all have one loss in conference. There's other one loss teams that I'm not going to talk about that actually may be even better slated to make it. But just for context, Navy and North Texas played. North Texas won. So that gives Navy their first loss of the year, including their first conference loss. So it's now very intriguing to see who's going to come out on top of the American and take that playoff spot, because we are now living in a world where perhaps either North Texas will make it in over regular Texas and Memphis will make it in over Tennessee. And I would love every second of that. We could also see a world Tulane makes it in over LSU because they only have one loss in the American.
Yeah.
South Florida can make it in over any Florida, including Miami.
Yeah, at this point, yeah.
I just love to see this happen. It's just so funny to me.
Yeah.
And I'm just, I'm going to want to talk so much trash to these teams. I got to be careful. I mean, we lost to a Florida school. So
I do feel like at this point, it's pretty clear that whoever wins the American is going to get that final, 12 seed. And for what it's worth, they'll probably be a sacrificial lamb. But I don't know, man. Like, after last season, it'll be interesting to see for sure. Like, these teams, for what it's worth, I feel like the American, one thing all of their top tier teams have in common is they can score a lot of points in these high flying games. And I would love to see a shootout between a team like Memphis or North Texas against a team like, I don't know, Georgia or something,
I don't think it would happen. I'm going to be honest with
you. Optimistic.
I mean, way too optimistic. Defense travels way better through the postseason than offense. I mean, that's why Auburn plays all these close games and they're in the position they're in.
They have
one more team I wanted to talk about specifically that was eliminated this week. But before I do it, I'm going to throw out a stat for the listeners, and we're going to give you a few seconds to guess who this is.
I will think about this.
Okay. Blank team has lost their last 28 games against ranked opponents. Which team is that?
Okay. Well, this team's already eliminated. I would guess Penn State. That's the first thing that comes to mind.
It is Nebraska.
Really? Oh, yeah, they got eliminated. Hey, that's exciting.
And I think the Mahomey quarterback, Dylan Raiola, is out for the season with an injury.
Wow.
Unfortunately for him. But this also propels USC just a little bit. USC very quietly, 6-2.
Yeah.
They did lose to Illinois. They did lose to Notre Dame, but they have a win over Michigan.
Win over
Nebraska, I guess. They do play at Oregon later in the year.
Big, if they can beat Oregon, I think they deserve to be in the playoff conversation at that point. A 10-2 USC should probably get in my mind.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, but you have to actually get there because they still have to play Iowa, Northwestern, UCLA. I mean, you never know, I guess, how those games are. I mean, UCLA is a rivalry game. Who knows how it's going to go?
True.
Interesting. As far as talking about any games specifically, it's kind of hard to do that.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah. But I just wanted to touch on some of these teams. Virginia is now 8-1, undefeated.
No one's talking about Virginia.
Right?
It's crazy.
And with Georgia Tech losing, Virginia's now the only undefeated team in conference left in the ACC. So, and they play Wake Forest at Duke, Virginia Tech. Three very winnable games.
Yeah.
So that's the thing. To see Virginia make the playoff would be really crazy because nobody would have seen this coming. Nobody's seen this coming now.
No, still.
We're 3 weeks away.
Well,
they are currently. Exactly. Virginia's number 12? What? Exactly.
Yeah. I think what's tough with Virginia is, you look at their actual schedule this year, and it's not just that they've had an easy schedule, with the ACC being kind of a weaker conference. It's that they barely win all these games. They barely beat Louisville 30-27, barely survived Washington State 22-20. At the edge of their deathbed. North Carolina, they defeated 17-16. So, to me, it's for them to actually be a serious team for us to talk about, making a playoff run, even a small playoff run, they need to be winning these kinds of games by, two, three, four touchdowns, you can't win by 1 point against North Carolina.
No, I 100% agree. They're sort of squeaking by on an easier schedule. The Florida State overtime wins now looking kind of
that's not
bad.
Not that good.
Not that I'm anybody to talk about that, but how it is.
It was a big weekend for sure. I feel like the playoff picture is getting a bit more clear, and hopefully this weekend will help us kind of get even clearer in terms of what to expect. Randy, I think it's time Let's talk about some games coming up this weekend. What do you think?
Before we do that, I think I should hand out a this was their Super Bowl, or should I say this was their World Series Game 7.
Effortless. Okay. What do we got?
This was their World Series Game 7 goes to the Texas Longhorns.
Okay.
They are still not very good.
Yeah.
And they almost let Vanderbilt legitimately come back. I mean, hot take, right?
Yeah.
But I feel like they are trying to quietly go under the radar and trying to love being the underdog. But need I remind you, they play at Georgia.
Okay.
In 2 weeks, they have a bye this week. And they also finished the season versus Texas A&M.
Okay.
So that's going to be interesting. But, you know, congratulations on beating top 10 Vanderbilt.
Yeah.
I mean, that's not even trying to throw shade there. I don't want to trash talk Vanderbilt too much.
Yeah. But I know what you mean. It's like with Texas, like Texas as the plucky underdog will never, like, now more than ever, like, we're not buying it. It doesn't work on us outsiders of Texas. You know what I mean? But like people, I feel like in the program of Texas, like, are so bought into the hype and so believe in their team. I almost admire it in a way, even though it's obvious that Arch Manning is a bust and their team is just barely hanging on by a thread. I don't know. It's almost admirable how sad it is.
My elephant in the room, I'm going to have to give it to Ohio State.
Wow. Let's talk about it.
Maybe they're a good team. Maybe they're a great team. Maybe they're number one.
They're undefeated, reigning national champs, you know, I don't know, whatever.
But let's just be honest here for a second. Their schedule is terrible. Probably got the easiest schedule in the entire conference. Let's just be honest here for a second.
Yeah, in conference.
Their best win is against a team in the SEC. Everybody clowns as being fraudulent and bad, Texas. So I'm just saying, when that's the situation and you barely beat them 14-7, I mean, we played conservative.
Mm-hmm. I mean, they got lucky this year. In terms of, like, they played Penn State, who's like historically down, right? They avoided playing Oregon. You know, they don't play Indiana somehow. Indiana's good now, and like they're not playing them, right?
Right.
So like the thing is, again, like, Ohio State's a lock. I think they could honestly lose to Michigan and in the Big Ten championship and still be in. It's all goes, right? It's all goes. But like last year, they'll have a chance to prove to us, I think, in the playoffs. They have the potential. I'll give them that. Like, I think it's obvious they can win it all. We just haven't seen, like, I feel like they're hiding their power level. Is that like it?
Granted,
get that at all? Like, they're maybe just kind of.
I can see it. I 100% see it, because you saw some flash plays against Penn State. Mm-hmm. Part of it is they are beating these teams, you know, all due respect, they are beating these teams pretty handily every game. No game is actually close except the Texas game.
Yeah.
And they controlled the Texas game. It was a one-score game, and Texas had a 4th-and-1 on the goal line. They didn't convert. But, I mean, still.
It's never been in
part
doubt.
Of it.
Yeah.
Right. When I say untested, another part of the puzzle is the fact that it takes being pushed to your limit to really know sometimes the weak points of your team and to know what to improve. Like us losing to Florida State week one, I consider, I don't want to say a good thing that we lost, but we learned a lot from that game, and we knew exactly what to do. Being pushed to our limits against South Carolina, having these tough games, like, what was it, 4 ranked games in a row or something like that, it lets you know where your team stands and what you need to do, and it toughens you up a little bit, battle-tested. Mm-hmm. And Ohio State's going to lack that. Granted, they'll get a good opportunity versus Michigan at Michigan and in the Big Ten Championship. I think that's going to force them to grow up a lot. And then they're going to have a whole month. Well, actually, no, never mind. They don't have a whole month before the playoff starts anymore. So
how long is it now? Is it 3 weeks?
It's like I think it's 1 week.
Isn't it
1 week? Like, it starts pretty immediately after the Army-Navy game, right?
Okay, we'll have to look into that. We'll discuss that in like 3 weeks here on the Gym Podcast, but
it depends if they get a buy or not, too.
Yeah. I again, part of me is like, that Michigan game, dude, now that they've lost about 3 years in a row, like, that is their Super Bowl. I feel like they're, like, I think they're saving their power level for the Michigan game. But
And where it would really show up, for a team like Ohio State, where that not being battle-tested would really show up is in the fourth quarter of a close game, maybe they're even winning. In the playoffs, where you're really going to have that, you're going to have to be uncomfortable. You're going to be in a position that you've never been in before. You're going to have to know how to deal with
tough,
it.
You're tired.
Trailing. You're tough. You're tired. You start to tense up, especially as an athlete. You're going to tense up and start second guessing yourself. Yeah. You have to be comfortable being uncomfortable. You know, that's why I give Georgia and Kirby Smart a lot of credit. I mean, Georgia has the second best coach in the conference. Like, you have to give them a lot of credit for that. You know what I mean?
Who's the best coach in the conference?
Who do you think? Who do you think is the best coach in the conference?
I mean, I know I'm biased. I would still say Kirby Smart's certainly the most accomplished. Like, you got to give him that.
Yeah, I'll give him that. Most accomplished, at least for now.
Okay.
But I'm saying they play very high-end talent teams that maybe they're struggling a little bit. The Ole Miss win is really good, but they're battle-tested in that sense.
Georgia, unlike Ohio State, it's like they put themselves in positions to lose almost on purpose just so they can win and like battle-test their players.
It's one of those things. It's never going to be counted. It's never going to be like a measurable competitive character and comfortable and uncomfortable situations. It's never going to be a statistic that shows up on the stat sheet. Right.
Yeah.
But it's something that really matters when it comes to the fourth quarter of a close, tough, hard fought game. Right.
Right. We'll see, Ben. We'll see. I will say real quick, my Super Bowl, this was their Super Bowl award. Just want to hand it out real quick before we head over to next week's games. I'd probably, speaking of Georgia, give it to them. There's something about just barely surviving Florida that to me is laughable. But like, you know, Georgia fans are like, guys, it's a rivalry game. This is a Florida Georgia line. You heard of that band? This is a tough one. This was never going to be easy. Like, not, it should have been easy. It should have been easy.
I'm going to disagree with that. You have to remember, Florida beat Texas by more than Ohio State did.
Wow.
Just saying.
Look out, Ohio State. All right, real quick, one final thing. My elephant in the room of this week. It's Indiana. What's going on, man? They beat Maryland 55-10. They keep beating every opponent by 50 points. And I know it's bad opponents. I get it. But at what point do we have to be concerned about Indiana?
I think we have to be concerned about Indiana at this point. They have something to prove. I don't like their scheduling.
No.
How they're doing out-of-conference scheduling where they make it as easy as humanly possible.
Like, it's actually the easiest out-of-conference in the nation. It's unbelievable.
But I have to say, one thing I like about Cignetti, like, if you just hear him talk during those, like, halftime interviews and his press conferences and all this other stuff, like, I don't know if it's, like, his accent or what it is, but he's just got this attitude that's like, all right, he's legit.
You can like,
you just trust him as a coach.
Yeah, he's no funny games, no silly business. He's there to win games by a lot.
And it's not a gimmick either. You know how some coaches just grind every day, and it comes off as a gimmick.
Yeah. No, it's the real deal with him. So I gotta respect that. It's a shame that he signed that contract extension. I think he would be amazing at a legitimate program with a legitimate, you know, organization and AD and fan base around him. It's a bummer that we're wasting talents on teams like Indiana, but it's fun to see for now. Yeah.
I didn't know Wisconsin fans had so much hate towards Indiana, but
if they can do it, we should be there. God dang it, dude. Like, that's the thing.
I get it.
There's no reason Indiana should be in this position or not. So that's where I'm at.
All right, so without further ado, let's go into the Week 11 games. We have a lot of great games this week. It's going to clear up the playoff picture even more. You know what? Before we really get into it, I want to say it's so cool and nice to have a playoff again, just as a fan of the sport, not as a fan of a specific team.
No.
Where it's really actually wide open, right?
It does.
There are so many teams, we see that. If they make it, then anything can happen.
There's teams
like one or two clear favorites.
There's teams in like the high teens even right now. We're like, we're looking like top 20 teams where it's like any one of these dudes could make or not make it even. Like, that's the thing. Like, you can look at the top 10.
And compete, win games and compete.
Yeah, you can see teams in the top 10 that like, Georgia might not be a lock. I mean, knock on wood, right? But teams will lose, they will fall and rise. So it's going to be a fun one. Let's get into it, Randy.
Friday night. Speaking of top 20 teams, Friday night, 8 p.m. Central, 5-3 Northwestern at 6-2 USC at the Coliseum. USC 6-2. They're very much still in the playoff race, right? They have one conference loss. I doubt they'll make the Big Ten championship game.
What they need are style points, especially on a Friday night, right? It's the only real game on. There's Tulane and Memphis playing as well. But people will be watching this one passively. If USC can, like, do a classic, you know, Tebow quarterback drops like 50 points kind of a game, it could turn some heads. We'll see with USC on that one.
I believe they still have the number one ranked offense in the country with the 25-30-ish ranked defense.
Yeah, so it's classic.
Could be interesting.
Riley. Yeah, so
Classic Lincoln, very classic Lincoln Riley.
Yeah.
So good on them. At 8 p.m., same time, same night, we have Tulane, 6-2, one loss in the American at Memphis, 8-1, one loss in the American Athletic Conference. This could very much determine a championship game spot for this conference.
I think it will, honestly.
Find it very interesting.
I definitely think like one of these two teams will probably be in the American championship game. And so this is a make or break kind of game. Tulane, dude, like, I like Tulane. They've got the best uniforms in football. It's a shame they just got blown up UTSA. So, like, I think Memphis probably has the edge on this one, but this should be a fun one to watch anyways.
Correction, it was UAB, not UTSA.
Oh, what? Am I wrong?
Whoa. I'm looking at Memphis. No, you were right. I was looking at Memphis's.
A little wrong Birmingham tab. Bias went on there. Oh, interesting.
Of course. So just as a reminder, Tulane's remaining games are Memphis and then three crappy AAC. Like literally the bottom of the AAC.
They got to win after that. Big at this point. Yeah, make a statement.
They need – it's not about style points even. I mean, it's you just got to win. You got to take care of business.
Just win.
Memphis does play Navy as the last game of the season.
It'll be a fun one.
And so this is going to be very interesting. Memphis must win. I mean, every game's a must-win game for Memphis at this point.
Yeah.
Every game's a must-win game for Tulane. So this is going to shake out the Group of Five playoff spot. Don't know if they're going to be able to do much in the playoffs, but it's just going to be funny no matter who it is to make fun of the other Power Five team in their state.
Yes, which is almost a guarantee. Unless Navy wins, it's going to be an existing like SEC team that didn't make it, but their little brother did. Very fun.
Exactly. So moving on to Saturday morning, 11 a.m. Central, undefeated 8-0 BYU at 8-1, number 9, Texas Tech. Texas Tech has one loss in conference. Mm-hmm. BYU, again, undefeated. Mm-hmm. This could determine Big 12 championship game spot, or could not. If BYU loses, they could very much still be in. Do you have any thoughts on this game?
I'm going to give my lock of the week, Randy. Finally.
We've waited. Did I
steal it from
go
you?
Go for it.
Well, we're on
go
the same page
no, you
here.
Can take it.
Who have we been hyping up all year?
Texas Tech.
Who have we been hating on all year?
BYU.
That's right. And finally, we're going to be vindicated, Randy. We're going to be vindicated when Texas Tech destroys. I'm not, like, I'm saying the lock is they win by 21. It's at home. It's going to be electric. I really believe Texas Tech is going to cruise to an easy victory here over BYU.
I 100%, 1,000% agree. Texas Tech has great offense, solid enough
good
defense.
Enough. Good enough defense.
I think it's good enough to finally give BYU's offense a run for its money because BYU has played some
terrible defenses. No one, dude. Yeah, come on. Like,
it's not even the opponent they play. It's the opponent's specific defenses that they play, like Stanford, East Carolina, Colorado. I mean, West Virginia, no offense, Texas, but your defense is not good.
I'm sure he'd agree with us.
Arizona defense, Iowa State's defense isn't very good this year. Utah has a weaker defense than normal.
What are we doing? Yeah.
No, exactly.
I love Texas Tech in this one. Locking in.
And it's almost like BYU is trying to put up style points, but are barely winning some of these games.
Yeah. I don't get it, man. Like, they have just such an easy schedule. I'm not impressed by BYU.
Meanwhile, Texas Tech, everybody they beat by like 2-3 touchdowns or more.
Yeah, they're dominating opponents, which is what I like to see. Like, any legitimate team is going to dominate with their schedule. So, Texas Tech.
Exactly. Another team I kind of wanted to bring up, James Madison, 7-1, undefeated in the Sun Belt. Mm. And now they are only playing 4-4 at 4-4 Marshall. I just wanted to point this game out because it could be interesting. We keep talking about these American teams, right?
Like,
James Madison's only loss is 2 touchdowns by 14 points at Louisville in week 2. Mm-hmm. They've thoroughly dominated pretty much everybody else they've played, their closest win being a 7-point win at Georgia State.
Yeah.
With the next, all the other ones are 2 scores and more.
And Louisville might be a playoff team, dude. Like, Louisville wins out. Like, that's what's weird. It would be kind of fun.
And that's going to give them a lot of credit.
Yeah. It'd be fun to see James Madison later on, but we'll see, man.
They do play Washington State, who I know isn't seen as P4 anymore. But it's still Washington. Like, there's a bit of a name brand.
For us
reference.
Boomers. Do the kids even know about Washington State anymore? Like, it's the weird thing, man. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
It is what it is. I just think it would be hilarious to see James Madison snipe away the Group of Five playoff spot, and it's very possible.
It is.
We're just going to have to see how that shakes up. No, they're not even ranked right now. Yeah, they're not ranked right now. That's okay. Just keep winning.
Just keep winning.
Take care of business, and who knows?
All right. Up next, what do we got?
Up next, I'm going down the list. We have a lot of cupcake things. We have Texas A&M undefeated still at Missouri, 6-2. I think Bo Pribula is out for the year. I'm not sure if he's out for the year. I'm pretty sure he's not playing in this game.
Okay.
Do you think this is the week that Texas A&M gets exposed?
The thing is, man, like, I really believe Texas A&M will be exposed when they finally play a legitimate team, but Missouri is not really a legitimate team. You know what I mean? You know what I'm saying?
No, I know what you mean. I mean, Missouri is not bad. They have a great defensive offensive line, great running back. They actually have, like, a lot of great pieces to their team, but I just don't see this week being the week.
It's at Missouri.
Texas A&M can still go 8-4.
But you're right. And actually, well, looking at the schedule, that would involve losing to Samford. I don't think that's going to happen. But I do think 9-3, like, if they lose this game, 9-3 is on the table because they still play South Carolina and Texas. I think if they can't beat Missouri, they're not beating Texas. So, it needs to end. Like, how are they, like, you as a Bama fan, you've got to be upset by this, right? Like, A&M being ranked higher than you?
No, I'm not, for the simple fact that everybody is aware that they've played by far the easiest schedule in the conference, and we've played the hardest. Mm-hmm. I think everybody's very aware of that fact, so it doesn't really bother me. It'll work itself out. Okay. I ain't worried about it.
We'll see.
Here's my take on the game is, Missouri is in a very desperate position. It's at home at 2:30. It's the premier ABC or SEC on ABC.
I can't watch this game. Yeah.
I don't want to give it my lock of the week. Actually, you know what? Screw it. I'll give it my lock of the week. Okay. Missouri takes down Texas A&M, and the Aggie wheels fall off the bus.
Wow. I hope so. I really hope you're right, Randy. Like, I want this ride to end. Every year, you know, there's the meme about, like, the Texas A&M roller coaster and how they eventually fall off the rails. Like, please let this be the week. I've suffered enough.
Fair enough.
There's a game in that same time slot that I want to discuss because I think it could be a potential upset. Number 6 Oregon travels to Kinnick Stadium to play the Iowa Hawkeyes. Right now, Oregon is only favored by 5.5 points. Just given the way that Iowa plays and given how kind of, you know, hot and cold Oregon can be, do you think Iowa has a chance in this game?
I do, because they've shown the ability to slow down some really good offenses. If you remember, they had the closest game, I think, this season versus Indiana.
Yeah.
That Indiana's allowed. It was a 20-15 win for Indiana. Granted, it was like, what, a month ago, but still. They've shown that they can stay in these games and compete and maybe win. I don't know. Has Oregon played at Kinnick? Well, they haven't played at Kinnick, but have they played Iowa at all?
Ever? Let's go to Winsopedia, folks. We're doing some research here.
They have not. Oregon and Iowa have not played since they joined the Big Ten. I don't care about games from like 20 years
ago. Yeah, we're not counting bowl games and stuff from 1994.
I just don't know how prepared Oregon is to deal with Kinnick Stadium. They're probably like a little overconfident.
Like, they're gonna go in there and see all these like fat farm boys and be like, "What's going on here?"
They're gonna see the children's hospital with all the cancer-ridden children. I mean, they're gonna get waved at. You just know Oregon fans. They're gonna want to flip them off. They're gonna want to.
Dude, you're so right. If there was any fan base to flip off the sick children, it'd be Oregon. That's for sure.
Yeah, exactly.
I think Oregon will win, but it'll be close. This could be a fun one, potentially, like coming down in the fourth quarter kind of a game.
We have 6-2 Washington at 2-6 Wisconsin. Does Luke Fickell turn it around? Is this an opportunity?
What makes me mad about this game is the banter coming out of Washington fans, which, let's take a step back. Have you ever seen a Washington fan?
I mean, they came out of the woodwork whenever we got DeBoer. They came out of the woodwork every time we lose.
Like, think about CFP.
Every time we lost last year.
Like, think about, like, you don't, there aren't Washington fans. Okay, just, that's disclaimer. However, coming out of the woodwork, that's a good way to put it. they come out of the woodwork to say how they're the real UW. And that, you know, Wisconsin, Madison is not the real UW. We came first. We came 1848. Look it up. We were here first. Everyone talks about like how like OSU, there's drama over like OSU. Who's the real OSU? And this is beyond that in my mind. And they're going to win by a lot. And they're going to claim the title. And it's going to make me real sad. But I'm used to sadness. I'm used to feeling this way with Luke Fickell. So it is what it is.
Fair enough. I was wondering if you would think it would be the game turns around, but I guess not.
No, absolutely not.
I know in the 6 o'clock, 6 o'clock slot, we have a couple ACC games that are just going to be interesting. This is going to be reminiscent of last week, if you remember, where there were like multiple 3-2-4 loss teams that could take down a one loss playoff hopeful. Yep. You have 5-3 Wake Forest at 8-1 Virginia, and you also have 5-4 Cal at 7-1 number 14 Louisville. Do you think there's an upset in either of these games?
I think in one of these two, at least. I think we're like, if for no other reason, we're at the point in the year where the ACC cannibalizes itself. This happens every year. Like, you know what I mean? Like, a team like Louisville just loses because it just can't. They don't have the juice. I don't know which one. I lean towards Virginia losing.
I do too. I was actually thinking the exact same thing. Louisville has looked, like, I know it's eye test and it's all subjective, but Louisville has just looked better. Yeah. I know they lost to Virginia, but just still, man. Still.
Yeah. In that same time slot, real quick, keeping it in the ACC, I just want to say real quick, can you imagine heading into this year, seeing Florida State versus Clemson with both teams being unranked and having losing records in the ACC?
That would have been crazy to think about, but here we are. I mean, it's so interesting to see the development of the ACC and see really the conference maintain its same profile, mm-hmm. despite both of these programs being down. Just find that very interesting. Good for the ACC, I guess. That's what they need as a conference, is they need like respect to get in attention, viewership, money, better TV deals, more money, et cetera. So it's interesting. It's interesting that nobody's even really going to watch. I mean, we're going to watch the game because it's funny.
Yeah, yeah. But like, there's no stakes, right? This is just kind of, you know, it's a game that'll be played.
Right.
You know, game
we have
at
6:30.
Yeah, Randy.
Let's go for it.
No, let's talk. About
you already know what I'm going for.
No, just say it.
5-3 LSU at 7-1 Alabama. I'm afraid.
No,
of this
stop.
Game,
no. No. Randy, come on. Just have fun. God dang it, you're going to win by 35. Just have fun. They don't have
a
head coach, dude. No,
exactly. That's why I'm more scared of them. If they had Brian Kelly, I would be way less afraid of this game. Oh. Brian Kelly is kind of a goober. They have, I forgot who their intern's name even is.
Exactly.
But it's a guy that cares about LSU that's really going to inspire the players. I think the players are now going to have somebody to rally around. They're incredibly talented. Like, they have nothing to lose. I think they're just going to come in and give it all they have. And I'm afraid we would be overlooking them.
Have fun.
We have a tendency to do that because we have Oklahoma coming in the next week. We still got to play at Auburn, which is, I don't even want to talk about that right now.
Who also doesn't have a coach. Here's the thing. You know, you talked so much crap about all these teams you played at the start of the year who are undefeated and ranked. Your second half of the season,
this is
it's coach after coach after coach. Without, they don't even have coaches anymore, dude. They ran out of coaches in the SEC.
This is classic DeBoer to lose a game like this, if we're being honest.
I don't know.
We're going to beat all these like number 5 and up ranked teams, and we're going to beat them handily. But when it comes to an unranked, hapless team, we'll lose. It's just how it is. It's how the DeBoer turnaround. I would much rather have this, to be fair, than like what Penn State had under James Franklin.
It's the opposite.
Like, at least we beat the top teams, even if we drop a stinker to Florida State.
Yeah, at Bama wins, I'm torn between if they win by 4 or 5 touchdowns. Like, that's what I'm envisioning.
It's never going to be that much. DeBoer's offense doesn't lend itself
to
that.
Make it real painful for people like me? Yeah, okay.
We'll have the Kane Womack defense meme, where it's like all the falling down building with the tiny wooden pillars. Or timely fumble, timely fourth down stop, timely interception.
Casual pick six to like win the game.
Casual pick six.
That's how it goes, usually with Bama.
It's how we play, man. It's how we play. Also in the 6:30 time slot, I find this a little interesting. Mm-hmm. We have 7-1 the Navy at 6-2 Notre Dame. Do you think Navy has any shot here?
No. So we've been hyping this game up for weeks. And we're like, man, it'd be real cool if Navy was undefeated heading into that Notre Dame game. But then they lost by a lot to North Texas. So I think Notre Dame takes care of business, and this is a pretty uneventful game.
I agree. Navy's wins weren't exactly impressive, and they were versus lesser competition, yada, yada, yada. Notre Dame takes care of business. And Notre Dame has their eyes in the playoffs now. They played themselves back into it.
Not being in a conference.
They do need to win out. Yeah. They have to win out.
Yeah, so. But they've looked good. They've looked good. So I think this will be a good showing for them.
See, I'm looking down.
There's one more game I want to discuss. Mark your calendars, folks. Turn on the CW at 9 o'clock as we witness 0-8 Sam Houston at 2-7 Oregon State. If you're like a real sicko, this could be a fun one to watch at midnight.
Poor Sam Houston, man. 0-8.
You want to know who their head coach is? Want to take a gander, Randy?
Who is it?
You're never going to guess. That's right.
Who is it?
Phil Longo, former Wisconsin offensive coordinator. And guess who their starting quarterback was? Guess who their starting quarterback was at the start of the season?
Who?
Mabry Metoyer. I mispronounced that. Mabry Metoyer. Former Wisconsin quarterback. He committed to Wisconsin and played one game, I think. He had one completion here. And goes to Sam Houston, has a pretty miserable outing, is on the worst team in football. I don't know, man. Maybe Phil Longo was the problem. You know what I mean? Like, Sam Houston is so bad that it actually gives me a little bit of hopium that Phil Longo is the reason we're in this position right now.
That very well could be possible. So I actually remember some old Wisconsin press conferences, one in particular where Phil Longo made a statement that was along the lines of, my job is to make Luke Fickell happy. And you can just tell based on the way the statement was delivered, okay, he's about to get fired soon.
Yeah.
Fickell's about to get rid of him. But you can tell they weren't on the same page. So maybe that's what I was kind of saying. I noticed with Wisconsin specifically, you had a bunch of year one problems in year three that were indicative of not haplessness in so much as making a change. Mm-hmm. Well, like, you're obviously making some changes to try to get some things right, and there's going to be some of that attrition, mm-hmm. but it's going to be attrition you should have had in year one, but you're now having it.
Yeah, get
now.
It out of the way.
So, like, yeah. Get it out of the way. Who knows? So, like, who knows if things look improved next year? For Sam Houston, this is sad to see some of their statistics. Their leading rusher for the whole season has 287 yards.
Oh my god!
Total.
That, folks, this feels historic.
Their leading receiver has 231 yards.
I watched.
Yeah, their offense is pretty bad.
I watched a little bit of Sam Houston last week against Louisiana Tech. They had a fun, like, orange versus black kind of game on Halloween, and it was tough to watch. I believe the score. Let's see here. It was 27-14. So yeah, it's, folks. Anyways, just mark your calendars. It would be fun to see Sam Houston win against Oregon State. So
I guess that also. Oh, hold on. There was one other game I actually wanted to bring up. This is going to be maybe interesting. Mm-hmm. We have at 10 o'clock Central, 7-1, undefeated in conference, San Diego State at 6-3, Hawaii.
Dude, no one's talking.
Do you think?
Yeah.
Could they snipe the play at the group of five spot? They still play. They play at Hawaii, obviously, dude, and they play Boise State.
The problem is, you look at San Diego.
San Jose State.
First of all, the funniest win of the year, maybe, as well as one of the worst losses. They lost at Washington State 36-13. If you can't beat Washington State, what are we doing? And this is a fun one. They beat Northern Illinois in week four, 6-3. Again, that's real sicko football right there.
That is real sicko football. What's funny also is sandwiched in between those games is a 34-0 win versus Cal.
Yeah. Just out of nowhere. Dude, what a weird team. I mean, for the sake of, like, the sport and making the playoff interesting, I'd like to see San Diego State win this game and win out, ideally. Because I think it'd be healthy for the sport to have, like, a competitive G5 race for the playoffs. You know what I mean? But do they get there? I don't know. I guess we'll have to see. It's going to be tough playing at Hawaii at 10 o'clock at night. That's a pretty tough road game, as far as I'm concerned, just because of the environment, you know.
It is. It will be. And so I'm just saying it's interesting. I am seeing, like, especially, like, there's these regular season games have maintained a lot of importance. It's just kind of shifted which games are important. And there's more important, more quantity-wise important games now, which I think is good for the sport. It's going to be very interesting to see how these games shape up. Yeah.
Yeah.
Especially as we get into these last 2 weeks as the picture becomes clearer. Mm-hmm. I do have one final question for you regarding Wisconsin football.
Okay, we'll keep it going.
Do you have, we can't do the coaching segment anymore because you're keeping Luke Fickell, but what would you want to see? Like, what would Luke Fickell need to do next year in order to keep his job, in order to give you hope?
So the problem is this, because I've discussed this with my Wisconsin fans. I've got a close friend that we chopped it up for hours about this a few weeks ago. The problem is, if we were to clean house and get a new offensive coordinator, it's harder to shift the blame. Right. Like it's easy when you're a first year head coach or like a second year coach to blame a lot of your problems on the OC or the DC. Like I was saying, Phil Longo, right? Like, oh, this guy's terrible. He's the reason. Right. But if you keep firing them and getting new ones and firing them and getting new ones after a while, like that's a problem in and of itself. Right. And so it's like we almost have to stick with what we have now. But what we have now is terrible. So like I straight up don't know what to do, man. Short of like getting Jim Leonard in here as a DC, like, hey man, we're sorry, come back, and like that changes things. But like even then, the defense isn't the problem; it's the offense. So like, I genuinely don't know, Randy. Like, it feels insolvable in my mind. Like it's lose-lose no matter what we do, and I just have to wait it out, man. Like I don't think Fickell can save this program at this point.
Well, in 2026, you do open the season versus Notre Dame at Lambeau Field. Imagine that could be a moment, a big moment. Notre Dame is known to start the season slow with Marcus
Freeman.
They
lose to bad teams every now and then, so maybe,
Avoid Michigan, Ohio State, and Indiana next year.
What's really damning is the fact that you look at Fickell's tenure, and it's only gotten worse over time. Like, we've only receded. And there's just no signs of improvement. And I think to close out the season, dude, Washington, Indiana, Illinois, Minnesota, we're going 0-4. And we're probably not going to be competitive in any of these games. And you have to admit, Randy, for as much of a doomer as I am, for as much as I doom more than almost anyone else, I'm justified. I was proven right this year to doom. Like, we are as bad, if not worse, than advertised. And so I cannot imagine this team being remotely competent at any point in time.
No, I understand.
There's no
I tend to agree. That's why these final games are going to be important, to try to get some sort of momentum going into next year, get some hope.
When you put it that way, I want to see, freshmen step up. We did see one shining light, Gideon Atuka. Look him up. Freshman running back from Wisconsin. He played pretty well against Oregon. He was kind of like the only thing we had going on offense that game. It's things like that. Like, I want to see like a freshman safety make a big play, right? I want to see like a freshman offensive lineman like step it up and not allow any sack. You know what I mean? Like, I that's the only hope I have, because like this current team, this current roster of starters is just dreadful. They failed. They're not good. We need fresh blood, you know?
I get it. You also need to show potential incoming recruits that you're willing to play them.
That's the thing, dude.
Guys, hey, we need you. You know what I mean?
I guess.
We need you, we'll pay you.
We'll pay you. I know we want to wrap this episode up, but like real quick, do you think players in the portal, how much do you think they even care these days about like brand reputation and like wins and losses? You know what I mean?
Like, I think what they care... they care about a couple of things. And I think, one, they want to get paid, right? They want to get some guaranteed early money. But I don't think it's just that. They're also going to look at a program that's going to get them ready, not even ready for the NFL, but showcase them for the NFL, give them that opportunity to get drafted. And Wisconsin kind of needs to show that they can, again, with these young players that you're just talking about.
Yeah.
Like, hey, come here. You'll get a chance to showcase.
It's tough, though, because like, we used to get guys drafted pretty free. Like, a lot of great players in the NFL are former Badgers. But, like, in 5 years, that's not going to be the case, dude. We had, I think, 2-3 players drafted last season, and they were in, like, the 5th or 6th round. Like, it there's just no one, there's no big dynamic players on this team. And, like, I don't know, man. Like, again, I'm not trying to be, like, too doomer, but, like, it feels so hopeless right now for this program. Like, and the thing is, if Fickell was fired tomorrow, I think that would be, like, this huge, like this huge momentum shift for the entire program. Like, when he's gone, that's when things change. You know what I mean? Like, we see other programs all the time. Like, they finally get this, like, head coach fired, and then they hire, like, the new guy. And, like, the hype cycle starts anew, right? Like, that's what we need to hold out onto at this point.
I don't even know if a hype cycle would start. You also have to be careful not to turn into a program that just keeps cycling through coaches every 3-4 years.
I get that. But, like, if teams do that, and eventually, like, Texas A&M, dude. I know
they eventually got it right.
I know they're fraudulent, but, like, they're undefeated. You know, like, I'm okay being a fraudulent team that wins. I'm okay with being Indiana, right? I will take
you're
that
okay
over.
With being Minnesota.
I'm okay with that. I want the wins, even if they're fake, even if they're Mickey Mouse like that. I so miss winning, dude. I so miss seeing my team win.
No, I completely understand where you're coming from, because I look at a team like Auburn, who has all these technical close games versus these great teams, but then loses them all.
Yeah.
It's like, what is that real? That's not more enjoyable.
No,
as a fan,
it's worse,
than to,
if anything. It's
than to
worse
go
than
8-4 at the very least. And yeah, even if you lose 42-3 at Ohio State or something.
Yeah. When we lose close games to Ohio State, I don't feel anything. But when we lose a heartbreaker, you know, we lost to Michigan earlier this year, where it's like, man, we could have had a chance. That hurts. That hurts. You know what I mean?
Right.
So yeah, dude, I don't know about the future of this program. But you know what I do know, Randy?
I wish
this has been a fun episode. That's what I'm trying to segue to the end here. This has been fun though, Randy. I really do. This is a fun time of the year, I feel, for the sport. Wouldn't you say?
Absolutely. The weather's changing. It's finally nicer outside, at least for us. I know it's probably been like here, probably dude. Got a foot of snow for you, but that's okay.
Yeah. But this should be a good week. Again, another one of those weeks, man. We got 4 weeks left, and each one of these is going to have like huge implications on the playoff picture. I can't wait to watch it, Randy. Can't wait to watch it. Until next time, folks, this has been a great episode with y'all. Thank you for tuning in. And as always, high tide.
Forward.